SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The Rage are at a Cam store. Came with us, Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano.
Mo DeKeel, former video coordinator of the L.A. Clippers and the Australian men's national basketball team, will step up and then join us in Level 3. We'll talk NBA playoffs. Just for the record, if you're just joining us, we got point spreads for Friday's play-in games. FanDuel, Atlanta Hawks -2, total 225 in C-Town against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I do not understand this point spread. Meanwhile, there's been some live movement here. The Clippers were 5.5-point favorites against the Pelicans. We got so hung up on that Cavs spread, we didn't bring up the Clippers spread. So they were laying 5.5. It's now 4. It's now 4. L.A. Clippers -4. -178 on the money line. And the Cavaliers, we hit the money line parlay tonight. I tried to middle it with the teaser. It didn't work, but we did. Our initial thought was process was right with the money line parlay. And just quickly looking at this, I personally believe the L.A. Clippers will win on Friday and the Cleveland Cavaliers will win on Friday. And that pays. Cam, you're going to get in. Get into my car. You're going to be getting. You want to go for a ride, Cam? L.A. Clippers money line. Cavaliers money line. +224.
I like that number. Not as big as the coach, but I'll take it at +224. Yeah,
only two games.
Yeah, it's good. Very good.
And you're getting both home teams. Exactly. So it's two and four right now. Atlanta Hawks, 2-point road favorites, which I don't understand. And the Clippers are -4 against the Pelicans. All right, let's get into the golf picks here. What do you got for us, Raging Redhead? What's in Cam's bag?
Do you want Babano to start? I'd always like to hear his guy, and then I'll.
Oh, that's true, actually. I mean, all right. Yeah.
That's
kind of
the way we do it. All right, Babano's lead off. Yeah, here we go.
All right, go on, Babano.
All right. Here we go. We've got Kevin at 4-5-1. We've got that's the first one. Billy Horschel 50-1. We've got Harold Varner III 60-1. CT Pan, where's the pan? Put the butter in it. 150-1. Cam Davis 200-1. Nate Lashley 200-1. And Emiliano put a steak on the grill 250-1.
Nice, yes. First round leaders or anybody else? He's
all right.
Nothing?
No, that's it. Okay. No first round leaders.
Wow, your golf guy's on vacation. Okay, Gabe, let's start this thing off with Matthew Fitzpatrick at 20-1. You knew where I was going here. This guy is a top 10, 5, and 15 machine here. I'm going to smash him in top 20 plays. I think he can win the tournament. Daniel Berger, that one's for you, Bob. Put another burger on the grillo with Daniel at 32-1. I like Kevin Kisner at 45-1. Georgia Bulldog, he will play well at this track, and this is the type of golf course you hit it straight, you make a couple putts, you could win. Adam Hadwin, the Canadian, always in contention at 50-1. Harold Varner III, me and your golf guy got something in common there, Babano, at 60-1. I think it's an amazing price, and I split up my half units. Brian Harman, that makes two Georgia Bulldogs for you, Kyle, and Anaban Lahiri, 150-1.
Let's roll. Level 2 has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the Pimps, the Pirates, the Hustlers, some people, the Bust Them, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down on the wing on Wednesday. Mo DeKeel will join us a little bit later on. We'll get into the NBA playoffs. We've got the Raging Red at Cam Stewart and Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, throwing it down with us right now. Cam just sharing his RBC Heritage golf picks. And you guys are getting a nice, I don't know if you guys got a better number here, because like I said, right now, FanDuel, I like Varner too, but Varner's 45-1 right now.
He's been bet down, Morency. I talked to Carver about this on the show today when I was doing updates. Do you know Brian Harman was 100-1 on FanDuel down to 55 or 60, and people are smashing Varner. He opened up at 60 and down to 45. So the market, those are guys that I like as well, but the FanDuel golf bettors have hit him hard.
I like, I think Varner is a strong top 20 play here. You know what? Last year, what we talked about earlier in the week, Cam, he finished in second place in this tournament last year. But you're getting a nice plus price here and there. And I'm down. Talk to me about Matthew Fitzpatrick once again, Cam. And just for you number guys out there, Fitzpatrick has six top 20s in his last seven starts. That's tough to do. So, in other words, I'm definitely going to have Fitzpatrick in my top 20 portfolio.
Damn right you are. He's plus 125. I'm going to hit him hard. I'm going to hit him in matchup bets as well. Burgers, plus 150. The one chalk, Colin Morikawa on FanDuel, minus 110. I'm taking all my guys outright. But other guys, if you're looking for some value, big plays here. Webb Simpson. People don't understand. He's been hurt, but this price... plus 210 for a top 20. That's ridiculous. We got Kevin Streelman, plus 350. Alex Noren, plus 280. Sorry, went out of order. And Anaban Lahiri, a guy that will play this course well. 5-1, all top 20s. I also like Sungjae Im. Can't bet everybody. Gabe, matchup bets, got to be quick. Colin Morikawa over Cam Smith. Cam Smith, a fade this week. It's an even money. Morikawa, plus 115 over Bob's Justin Thomas pick. Cantlay, minus 130 over Dustin Johnson. This is fit. I hate to go against the Canadian, but Fitzpatrick minus 120 over Corey Connors, and Burger Time over Tyrell Hatton minus 130 is my favorite matchup play.
All right, if you guys didn't get that, I don't know what we could do. He can't talk much slower than that for you.
I was pretty slow tonight. I got some first round leaders too. I'll stay for one more segment. I'll be quick.
Yeah, no, it's all right. We'll take a couple of questions. We'll get the Ghost or six pack. We'll take a couple of questions. Bob from Vermont has arrived in the chat after his epic and legendary phone call. He's basking in his glory.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Whoa, yeah! All right, Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, with us just for a couple of more moments. Me and Mabana, we'll get into more basketball after. We'll get into some overnight NHL hockey as well. We got Ghosters 8-pack tonight, an RBC 8-pack.
Wow.
All right. Bombers be wary, says Webb Simpson, Russell Henley,
yep.
Captain Kirk,
mm-hmm.
Maverick McNeely,
mm-hmm.
Adam Hadwin,
wow.
Charles Howell III, the Triangle, Tringali, and Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz golfing now, 170 to 1.
Who, Carlos Ortiz? A.K.A.
Carlos.
Tito?
Yeah. Carlos, not Tito. Carlos Ortiz. Yeah. All right, Webb Simpson, nice. Henley, Kirk, McNeely, Hadwin, Howe, Tringali, Ortiz. Sounds like a solid solid pack. For the record, me, I'm going with, I like Harold Varner III.
Yeah.
Harold Varner. Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Corey Connors.
Mm. Excellent.
That's what I'm rolling with.
Excellent.
Rolling. How do you think Jordan Spieth bounces back this week after not making the cut last week at a course that he normally plays well at? So how is he going to play well this week? I don't really see it.
I think you'll be better than people expect. The thing about the Masters is you got to be in good form, and he didn't go there in good form, but he knows how to play this course better. I don't think he's going to be, I'm not betting him to win, but I think he actually will make the cut this week, and he'll get it around. This course will be okay for him. His short game, though, has really let him down. That's the whole problem with Jordan Spieth. He used to get up and down from everywhere, Gabe, and now he doesn't. So I think he'll be okay, but not good enough to bet. And Jordan Spieth's got a real problem right now. Like his putting used to be better than anybody in the planet. He'd get out of danger. Now he can't do it. He's turning pars into bogeys that don't work. First round leaders, though, Morenci, I got a couple for guys that like to have fun tomorrow. Just small little sprinkles. We're going to go with Russell Henley. Always comes out of the gate hot at 40-1. Sungjae Im at 45. Harold Varner, winner and first round leader. We got him in our six pack at 66. And Joel, don't mind my bucket hat, Damon, Washington Husky, 100-2. One.
That's right. We were talking about it with Harold Varner. Varner's got to be in the portfolio, doesn't he?
Yes.
For first-round leader. No first-round leaders for you, Babano, this week? Your buddy didn't send him in?
He didn't send any. So, yeah, unfortunately, we're dry with the first-round leader.
He's choking on a sandwich.
Wow, you sound like you're 74, Babano, all right?
Well, yeah, what are you, what
still
are you
getting
eating
over
there?
I've had a cough and sore throat for, like, the last week or so. So every now and then it pops up again.
So that happens when you rip it up in Texas. Yeah.
You're still recovering from San Antonio now, still?
Wow, man. You better not come out and hang out with me, Babano. We'll put you in a hospital. That was weeks ago. Holy jeez.
Yeah.
I know. That was when Michigan played Villanova. Put it in perspective.
Wow. Yeah, you still beat
that's
down.
That's how long ago.
Unbelievable.
It was. Yeah, it was the end of March.
You don't get out too much.
Let's just come out and say it. Did you get COVID? Have you had COVID? Because that was a long time ago.
I tested negative twice, so I assume no.
Oh, you did? You took tests while you wondered if you had COVID after this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
The dry cough.
Yeah. It's all good.
Take our Benadryl and hope it get over it. Yep.
You're a soup guy.
No, here's a soup. Yeah, exactly.
Nice chicken noodle soup.
And some ginger ale. Babano, you'll be fresh as new capping in the morning. No problem.
Supposedly chicken noodle soup actually does help, though. It's not just...
It really does. People don't understand that. That's why I make my own broths now, Gabe. I don't even buy the soup. I buy the bouillon cubes that do it myself. You can control everything. Yeah, I told you. I really like to work up a game in the kitchen.
My boy Doug Gim. -172 to make the cut. Seems kind of pricey to lay for
the Grim Reaper. What, the Grim Reaper? Yeah, he'll play well here. He hits it straight. Doug Gim. Love that guy.
All right, so looks like we got any final golf questions for the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, before we get into a little NHL hockey, before we let Cam go. I'm looking here right now. I'm just looking at the top 20 prices, and there's some pretty good ones here, actually.
Yes, that's like, where I'm attacking the most.
Like Harold Varner. Harold Varner the third, guys. Harold Varner the third, top 20, plus 260.
It's a nice it's price.
That's
it
a
is.
Good
I'm
price
playing.
Right there. Yeah, Harold Varner. Webb Simpson's plus 210 for top 20.
Great price. Great price on Webb Simpson.
Corey Connors plus 137.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Fitzpatrick plus 120.
Oh man, that's my bet. Like I think Fitzpatrick can win, Gabe. The fact that he's plus money on a course like this, if he doesn't get there, that's on me. But all he does is finish. I told you he was top 15 last week, and if he hit some more putts, he would have been like right there in the Masters. I'm telling you, Matt Fitzpatrick's on a heater. He's a very dangerous golfer, and he's going to win a big one now. Maybe this weekend we'll both be on him.
All right, so yeah, my three top 20s, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Harold Varner III, Corey Connors. And you know what? I'll throw Morikawa in here, too. It's a little chalkier, but I think Morikawa is going to be top 20.
On FanDuel, I thought he was a minus 110. It might have gone up. But when I
that's what I meant. It wasn't like
it's
a plus price, though. Yeah, it's not that bad. So
there
tomorrow night, actually, for overnight hockey, Toronto Maple Leafs and the Washington Capitals.
Oh, God,
I'll throw it to you first, Cam, because you're getting out of here. Me and Babano can hit it after. But, you know, listen, man, the Leafs, I've talked about this a lot this year, and it definitely is true. The Leafs play good against good teams. And,
yes, they do.
Right? Buffalo beaten four of the last five times. Montreal have beaten them a few times. The lower tier teams get fired up to play the Leafs, and the Leafs seem to not match the intensity. Then they seem to bounce back. How many times have we seen this script, Cam, where the Leafs play terrible against a bad team and then win the next game against a good team?
Very true, and that's the thing. And they get up for Ovechkin, too. They beat Washington earlier after that embarrassment against the Sabres at a crazy minus 550 price. Like, hey, keep on betting the Sabres, people. These guys are having fun, but I'll be on the Leafs tomorrow against Washington. They will bounce back.
FanDuel guys right now have a 7 up in this game.
Yes, I'll tell you. People bet overs, Gabe. Here's the thing. The Columbus game should have gone over, but it finishes at 6. These 7s are very, very dangerous to bet. I'd actually even like want to knock it down and pay a little more juice. It's hard. 7's tough, except for Panther games. The Panthers, they score a lot, give up a lot.
We've got a full slate of hockey tomorrow.
They went to
Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo Sabres hosting the St. Louis Blues. Sabres have been putting money in our pockets suddenly recently in certain spots. I don't know if this is one of the spots. Edmonton Oilers screwed me hard last night on the alternate puck line.
They'll win tomorrow. They'll win the next game, too. Trust me. They'll let you down. They come back. They're a lot like the Leafs. The Oilers are a lot like the Leafs. They screw up.
The best way to bet Buffalo, you guys, is just bet their team total over 2.5 because their team total is always 2.5, and they've been going over it. And pretty much, so I think, 11 of their last 13 games, they've scored at least 3 goals.
Really, yeah?
They're dangerous. No, they're a dangerous team, Gabe. They had that kid, Owen Power, got called up, remember, from Team Canada. He's a stud. He looked very comfortable in his first game. Tuck likes being there. Tage Thompson's a stud. Babana will tell you he's a hockey guy. Like, this Sabre team, like, moving forward, they're a team you don't want to deal with because they have guys that actually, they put on their hard hat and work, and they're monster dogs all the time. Might be a bad spot against the Blues, though. We'll see.
No, they're building something, Cam. They're building something there. They just got it next year. They got to upgrade the goaltending. Anderson and Tokarski's not going to get it done next year.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
They're still a ways away, though.
They are. They are. But they're putting money in people's pockets.
From a betting perspective. Well, that's the thing. Like, they're playing better than what their record is. And they're getting priced in the same. Exactly. They are. They're coming together. But the Blues have been red hot down the stretch here right now, too. Smoking. All right, great stuff, Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart.
Yeah, you guys too. Have a good one, Marinci, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern. Let's rock.
Yeah, we'll have some time, a lot of hockey tomorrow because no NBA. The NBA's off till Friday now. It's the calm before the storm.
Exactly.
And then Friday, we won't really have much time for hockey or the NBA because I'm dedicating the entire 3 hours to the USFL return.
New Orleans Breakers! That's my team, baby!
Yeah, Cam's a Breaker fan. I am not fully decided yet. We'll share it soon. Thanks, Cam.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For you.
I know, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's $1 million game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
Cold. Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Well played, Matthias. Well done. The USFL is back. And the XFL is coming back as well. All these new football leagues. And you know what's amazing? This is what's mind-blowing. Of all games, of all anything. So the New Jersey Generals. The New Jersey Generals will take on the Birmingham Stallions on Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern. The game, Babana, will air on both Fox and NBC. Making it the first sporting event to air on competing broadcast networks since when? This is good. This is mind blowing. This stuff doesn't happen. This doesn't happen for the first time since 1967. The Super Bowl, the first ever Super Bowl, was shown on CBS and NBC. Like, the only things ever shown on the same network are like presidential addresses and debates and stuff. They don't simulcast stuff. The moon, you know, the moon landing and, you know, the takeoffs and stuff like that. Wow. It's crazy the TV deals that this league has gotten, Babano. But you know what the problem is going to be? So you get this big-time TV coverage. And I know, listen, Babana, one thing I know you do know, and people tuning in, Babana is a big football handicapper of, like, these other leagues. And, like, you know, Babana, the Alliance League was good. That was good football. Like, the Alliance League was a good league. They had a good thing going. But the problem is they didn't have the money to back it up, right? Like, they were paying the players too much. Like, they were paying players pretty well, and that's why they were getting pretty good players. And the thing is, they didn't, it was like a pyramid scheme. They were going week to week type thing. And they couldn't keep it at the level, and it imploded. The USFL is taking a different approach, and I get it, and you're going to survive this way by basically not paying a lot of, you know, you don't pay much to the players, so you can't get in trouble financially. You play all the games in the same stadium, and you don't travel, all right? And you set up the league in one city, so there's a lot of, like, creative things that they've done, actually, here, but... You know, I brought it up on Game Time Decisions, Babano. The number one overall pick in the USFL draft, guys, was Shea Patterson. So former Mississippi, he was the SEC Freshman of the Year. He transferred to Michigan. He was okay with Michigan, but he wasn't great. He didn't really fit the offense and fell out of favor. He, you know, his career didn't end. He wasn't really happy in the end. He thought he was going to the NFL. He got zero interest from the National Football League and couldn't make the BC Lions. And the BC Lions were not a great team who were looking for quarterbacks. He could not stick in the CFL even as a third-string quarterback on the roster, and he's the number one pick of the draft of this league. So I think the caliber, like, you know what it's like, guys? People are snobs. You know of a band. Oh, the CFL is great. But even like the Alliance League and stuff, how good it was, it still was only getting okay. It was good enough ratings to survive. Like, you got to be really good. People are football snobs in America. So you got to be really good. Otherwise, people are going to go, oh, this league sucks. My high school team was better than this. Or, oh, this is like this subpar. It's like, you know, asking a Canadian to watch subpar hockey. They're not going to do it, right? They don't do it. That's why there's no other little pro leagues in Canada or anything. It's the NHL because people aren't going to watch crappier hockey. So yeah. Kind of a catch-22, Babano, but I know, hey, you and I will embrace it. I'll bet it. I'll watch it until they pull the plug on it. Right? That's the way I look at it.
Hey, it's football in the spring, and I love football. I love watching football. I love betting football. You know, I love CFL. And look, I was involved with the XFL, betting it and watching it. I was involved with the Alliance, the AAF, when it was around, watching it and betting it. So I'm going to give this league a shot. And, you know, we've looked it up. We've seen who the coaches are. We've seen who the quarterbacks are. We've seen what the rosters look like. We know what the rules are. Let's get week one going this weekend, and let's see how we do.
Now, one thing, see, already with the USFL, they've already there's already been conflicting reports about where they're going to play and this and that, and you know. But I, so they're playing.
From what I've heard, they're playing all the regular season games in Birmingham in that stadium.
Exactly.
The entire regular season, and then they're going to play the playoff in Canton, Ohio.
They're going to Ohio for the championship game and stuff. The Hall of Fame Stadium. Which does make zero sense, actually, but nevertheless, whatever they want to do. So just for rule changes here, guys, you're betting a new. We went over this on Game Time Decisions. You have an option for going for 3 points instead of just one or two. So you can kick an extra point if you want. You can go for 2 points from the two-yard line if you want. But if you want to go for a three-point conversion after a touchdown, so you could get... you could get 9 points out of a score, hypothetically. You could get the touchdown, and then you can go for three. But if you go for three, it's from the 10-yard line. So this is the type of stuff, if you guys bet this stuff, you don't want to be all surprised. You're like, what the hell's going on here? So you can go for three, which I don't have a problem with in a fun league like this. I think it's a good idea. Overtime plays a best of three. It's a best of three shootout from the two-yard line. Alternating possessions. Onside kick alternatives. Teams can go for an onside kick if they want still, but they also have an option now. Instead of going for an onside kick, they can say, all right, just give us the ball at the 33-yard line, and you have to convert on 4th and 12. And then you keep the ball. This is a rule that you're going to see coming to the NFL. The NFL has been behind the scenes talking about this for a couple of years, this rule. A bunch of owners and GMs are pushing for it and want it because no one gets onside kicks anymore. This would add excitement to the game. In the NFL, they're just arguing about like how many yards it should be. So the USFL is going with 4th and 12. I would have went 4th and 15. I think 12 is a little light. I would have went 15 yards there, but I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it. So we have point spreads up right now. FanDuel's got them, and others have them as well, so it's not just FanDuel. That's the thing. Since it does have this massive TV deal, Babano, it is going to be a bettable league for everybody. Point spreads are already up right now, and the totals are all the same. 42.5, 42.5, 43.5, and 41.5, the four games this week. Yep. And I got to tell you, I don't see where the points are going to come from.
I think the first game actually is one that I think could be higher scoring than the total is, and that's the New Jersey Birmingham game, the NBC Fox season debut on Saturday night. Because you look at the situation, it looks like the New Jersey Generals are going to have a guy named DeAndre Johnson as their starting quarterback. And this is a guy that was actually recruited by Florida State, and it was just one off-field issue after another for him. He winds up, he actually wound up on that Last Chance U show that's on Netflix, playing at East Mississippi Community College to try to, you know,
yeah, he
get
was
his life sorted out.
Yeah, he was the quarterback when I won the big bet on
Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic, yeah. That's right.
He was the quarterback that year when you said you loved the FAU season wins over. Yeah. You're right.
He was one of the reasons why I liked him, because I knew of his talent, but he is a head case. Let's just call it out for what it is. Yeah. Like, he lost his job there at Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, and when you're trying to implement offensive and defensive schemes on the fly with coaching staffs that are just, you know, put together and rosters that were just put together a couple months ago, when you can get that quarterback element that can run, that's a difference maker. And I know DeAndre Johnson more than well enough to know he can run with the football, and he has that dual threat capability. I think that's a good thing. Then on the other side of the fence for the Birmingham Stallions in that game, Alex McGuff is going to be the quarterback for them. He played at FIU. He does have some experience in the NFL. Yeah, exactly. He's going to be the quarterback for them. And they also have Jamar Smith as the backup quarterback, and that's very important to point that out, because who's the head coach of Birmingham? Oh, it's Skip Holtz, who, of course, has been at Louisiana Tech for many years, and Jamar Smith was at Louisiana Tech as his quarterback there for a few years. And one of the things I'm looking at, Gabe, with the USFL is continuity. I want players that have had a connection with someone on the coaching staff, someone that's played with them, someone that's been on the same team as the coach, where they know the system, they know the playbook a little bit. And I don't know if Smith's going to start. I don't think so. I think it's going to be McGuff that's going to start. But just having Jamar Smith on the team, on the roster, and his connection with Holtz from the Louisiana Tech days, I think that's a benefit to Birmingham. I think that's a benefit to the offense. So I like that over. That's the one game I think we could see a little more points. I don't want to really go crazy with overs in week one, but that's the one game I think we could see some points in it. New Jersey and Birmingham over 42.5. And I agree with Birmingham being favored. You know, I do think that continuity factor is really real. You know, that you've got someone that's been with Holtz for a few years and it's going to help, and he can sort of tell him, hey, this is what he likes to do on offense, this is what he likes to do on defense. And it really helps when you've just got this, all of a sudden, this mishmash of players put together on one roster. So Birmingham being favored, I understand why they are.
It's only 2.5, right? And we spoke about this with Dave Sherapan, the odds maker, earlier tonight. And, on Game Time Decisions. And if you notice, they don't know what to do with this, Babano. Like, they don't know what to do. The odds makers don't know what to do with these games. So they made them all 2.5. Like, Birmingham is 2.5.
Yep.
Michigan is 2.5. New Orleans Breakers are 2.5 against Philadelphia. And in the last game, you got the Bandits minus 4.5 against the Maulers, 41.5. But you'll notice, though, because it's sort of that the hook, right? They think if they just put a 3 up, a Bano, that everyone will just blindly take every plus 3 across the board. So they made it a little trickier.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Late night anger management class. Ian Cameron, kick it with us. I am Gabriel Morenci. Talk a little USFL. We'll take a look at the overnight NHL board here. Talk a little NBA as well. But as far as the game, it's a bold pick, Babano. I like your style, though. Everybody's been saying, oh, the under this and the under that. I've been part of that crew. So you're the first one to say, you know what? I'm going over. First game, inaugural game, you're going over. Are you going to be live on the grid on Saturday night, too, during this game?
I believe, yeah, Saturday, April 16. I think April 16 and April 30 are the two Saturdays I'm on in-game live this month. So, yeah, I will be.
All right, good stuff. So Saturday night, I'll be watching. And so for the record, as Babano mentioned briefly earlier, Skip Holtz is the coach of the Birmingham Stallions. Meanwhile, Mike Riley, familiar name, Mike Riley is the coach of the New Jersey Generals. There's some good coaches in the league. Jeff Fisher is the coach of the Michigan Panthers. Larry Fedora, New Orleans Breakers. Skip Holtz, Birmingham Stallions. Kirby Wilson, probably one of the least known names, but he's a longtime running backs coach in the National Football League. He was most recently he was the running backs coach of the Raiders. Before that, he was with Tomlin and the Steelers. He's been in the NFL for like 23 years. He's been around forever. He played in the CFL with the Argos and the Bombers, too. So he's a lifer football guy. First-time head coach, Kirby Wilson. They have a good quarterback, actually, and Kyle Laletta, the Pittsburgh Maulers. I like Laletta. So Kirby Wilson's the coach there. Mike Riley's the coach of the Generals. Todd Haley. Of course, for everybody who knows Todd Haley. Todd Haley's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bandits. A lot of hype about the Bandits. People are liking the Bandits. Kevin Sumlin's the coach of the Houston Gamblers. And Bart Andrus, coach of the Philadelphia Stars. So first game up, New Jersey Generals and the Birmingham Stallions. As we noted, all games are being played in Birmingham. So all games are being played in Birmingham.
That's just for this year. That's just for this first season, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't worry if I'm there. Concerned. Yeah, I'm not worried about year two right now. Let's get through week one, Babano, before we get to year two.
We may not have a year two to worry about. That is true.
Well, I'll be honest, the XFL and the Alliance both didn't get through the year last time. So I'm almost a little gun-shy. It's like watching a soap opera. I know I'm not going to get an ending to. I'm gun-shy to get hooked on this. So Birmingham are minus 2.5, 42.5. Houston Gamblers get 2.5. Michigan minus 2.5, 42.5. Philadelphia Stars, plus 2.5, total 43.5 against the New Orleans Breakers and the Tampa Bay Bandits on Sunday night. I think that's another TV game, but not on both of them, but that's a TV game.
Sunday Night Football, Fox Sports 1, Tampa, Pittsburgh, yep.
I said FS1, yeah. So Tampa Bay Bandits and the Pittsburgh Maulers. Bandits lay 4.5, total 41.5. All right, so there it is, USFL football starting on Saturday. We'll break it down more in depth. I'll give you guys some in-game breakdowns. There's actually futures up even, too, if you want to get hardcore on this. How long is the season, though? 8 games only, too, right? So you don't have to wait that long.
Yeah.
How many games are they playing?
I think there's 8 regular season games, and then they move into the playoffs. I think it's
how many?
I think it's pretty sure 2 months.
Games,
and then they go right to the playoffs because I know the championship's early July.
Regular season. If I'm going to bet a future, I want to know how long is this season. It's a 10-week season.
10 games.
10-week season will run April 16th through June 19th with 40 total regular season games. Yeah, 10 weeks, 4 games a week. Then there'll be 3 playoff games, 2 divisional playoff games, and 1 championship game.
Yep.
All right. Now we know, 10 weeks. So for a future bettors, guys, not that bad, actually. It's 2.5 months, whatever. It's a quick little fun run here. Michigan Panthers.
There's going to be football. There's going to be football of some kind from starting April 16 this Saturday right till February now, because this is a blend right into CFL, which will start in June. And then, of course, NFL preseason won't be long after that. So football's here.
CFL should start earlier than they do, even. Michigan Panthers, plus 450. Tampa Bay Bandits, plus 450. New Orleans Breakers, plus 550. Philadelphia Stars, 6-1. Pittsburgh Maulers, 6-1. Houston Gamblers, 7-1. New Jersey Generals, 7-1. Birmingham Stallions, 7-1. I'll tell you what. One thing I'll tell you about these leagues. The odds makers are normally wrong. They always go with the team that they just heard of the most players or have. Oh, this guy played in the NFL. You know what I mean? He played in the NFL, so let's make them. They're usually wrong with this. Like, I don't see why the Michigan Panthers are favored here. Like, you know, because why? They had Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson's not very good. Like, so, yeah, the Tampa Bay Bandits. Tampa, I think, will be good. Todd Haley's a psycho, Babano, that'll be all into this and take it really seriously and stuff. And, like, he will have a good offense. The Bandits will be good. It's one thing. Tampa Bay are always good at these other leagues. It's always one thing. They're always good at these other leagues. Tampa Bay, New Orleans Breakers, plus 550, Philadelphia Stars. Out of principle, Babano, I almost just want to take, like, Birmingham and the Generals, both at 7-1. Like, just because because they're the biggest number. And if they win 1 week, I swear to God, I remember the lines in the Alliance League battle. It was the same crap. Like, a team would be 7-1, they'd win one game, and then it'd be plus 300. And then they'd lose, it'd be back to 6. Like, it's really funny watching this stuff go, but I don't know. I'll come up with something by Friday night show for with a future. I'll come up with a future, but Ben, you have a feeling you like one of the teams more than another team?
There's a lot to like with the offense of Tampa Bay. You mentioned it with Haley there, and you mentioned Jordan Tamu, who's got the potential to be one of the better and was very good. Remember, he played in the XFL, AAF, one or both of those leagues, and he played pretty well. He's good, and he'll probably play well in a league like this. So Tampa Bay definitely, you know, stands out as a decent.
But you know what? Tampa has they got Brady White too, Western Kentucky.
Yeah,
like they're gonna have an aerial attack. That's the whole thing. I don't know. Yeah. I'd be lying to you. Like I said, it's the lines just pop. We've been in basketball mode. It's only Wednesday right now. I'm gonna find out. We'll find out who's like all right, who's actually starting for real and stuff. Because a couple of these teams have a couple of good quarterbacks, but. I'll tell you what.
You talk about continuity, and this is important to point out. There could be some value, too, on the Philadelphia Stars because that team and that coach, Bart Andrus, and a lot of that roster were also in this, what was it, a few months ago, the Spring League, they called it. There was
that's a good point.
Spring League.
That's a good call.
And the Philadelphia Stars, with this roster and this coach, were in that league, and they played games, and they've been on the field and game action together, offense and defense. So you talk about early season edge. Where there's continuity, there's chemistry, there's already reps that you've had in games. Even though it was a couple months ago in a different league, that could be a benefit for Philadelphia in week one. So for that reason, I'm interested in them as a dog against New Orleans on Sunday. Just because of that.
Yeah. Well, like we said, like if it was just a one guy and this and that, like I said earlier, like I don't really care about that, but it's a good point you raise. I'll look into it. Like if he's got a bunch of guys on his team, that he was just coaching a team. He said, all right, guys, now we're going over this league. I like that. Like you said, that does help.
That's right.
That is a difference.
Whereas
like if there's like six guys, eight guys, 10 guys or something like that. I want to see how many guys, you know what I mean?
Whereas New Orleans' first game in a brand-new league, new players, new faces, new coaches, maybe more false start penalties, maybe more drop passes, maybe more sloppiness with the football. Maybe Philadelphia is better.
I got to check. Who's the coach in New Orleans here? Who's the coach in New Orleans? I got to go back and check. It's new league here. Who's the coach in New Orleans? Larry Fedora.
Yeah.
All right, so sort of, okay, look, say what you will about Jeff Fisher. He knows how to run a camp and stuff. You know what I mean? So, like, we got to look at this. Who's going to have the attention to detail? Who's going to be that coach? Like I said, Todd Haley will be good at this. Todd Haley's a smart guy. He's just kind of a jerk. So, he's going to be smarter than a lot of people in this league. Kevin Sumlin, I don't really buy into him. I mean, he's just there because of his name.
And that's why I'm not betting against Michigan in that game because it's time to prepare and trying to get the team ready for a brand new league and a first game. I'm not betting Kevin Sumlin over Jeff Fisher at the pro level. This is still professional football, pro football. This ain't college. I'm not trusting Sumlin.
Mike Riley will be good at this too. Players like Riley, he knows he'll be good at this. Like I said, they got some decent coaches here, but man, the talent is the players. It's going to be a little bit of a reach, I think. You know, that's why I'm going unders, guys. I'm going unders, and I'm going to tell you now. Like, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to bet all four unders, but we have time to play it out. But so Saturday 7:30, then Sunday noon Eastern. And then Sunday at 4 Eastern, and then Sunday night. But like you said, Babano, great to have football back. Carries right into the CFL, right back into the National Football League. The cycle of sports life continues. All right, so stack night in the NHL overnight here, Babano. But before we get to that, just quick take here. What did you think of those? You agreed, right, as far as the Hawks being minus 2-point favorites, that it's a strange number. Atlanta minus 2. And then right now we got the Clippers minus 4. What do you think of the play-in lines?
Yeah, it's the Clippers, I think, probably win and cover against the Pelicans. I mean, at home, I think they'll probably play better. I mean, give the Pelicans credit for beating San Antonio, but I think it's going to be a lot tougher against the Clippers who, you know, maybe now that this is obviously last chance. You know, you're going to see the Clippers best. I'm not sure I'm betting Cleveland, but as I said before, I'm not laying points with Atlanta in that game. I know everybody's enamored with how great they looked against Charlotte. Charlotte's not been great all year. They've had troubles defensively, and we saw it again tonight in the play-in loss to the Hawks. The Hawks have a real problem beating solid teams on the road. You know, it's fine to beat Indiana and OKC and all the New York and all these teams that I rhymed off earlier in the show to you, Gabe, on the road, but they have not been able to beat, you know, average to good to great teams on the road all year, the Atlanta Hawks. And now you're pricing them as road favorites. And say what you will about Cleveland being young. I know they've got Garland and they've got obviously Mobley and a lot of young players on this group, but they didn't quit against Brooklyn. And it was so easy for them maybe to say it's not our night when they were down by almost 20 in the first half. But they kept on battling. They played 48 minutes. They got that game down to within 3 or 4 points late in the game. And Brooklyn had to sweat it out late. I think that's a positive the Cavaliers can take into this game. So I think it's just everybody's a little bit on the too carried away with how great Atlanta looked tonight.
I agree. I don't get this. As I stated earlier, if you're just joining us right now, I am Gabriel Morenci, conversation with Ian Cameron. Like, when I saw it, there's 2.5s out there. And I was like, well, so did I miss something when we're talking about the USFL? Did the Cleveland Cavaliers team bust? Did the ceiling just collapse at the team hotel? Like, you know, what's going on here? What, did somebody get hurt? Are we missing something? And you and I talked about them on Sunday. It was close to Jared Allen played the other night. I don't know, but I mean, like, is he going to be back here at this point?
They're hopeful. They're going to look in practice tomorrow, and they're going to give him a look.
Yeah, he was close the other day. Like, you know what I mean? If he was close the other day, we have another 2 days, Babano, even for him. He still has till Friday.
Yeah, and he changes things at the defensive end of the floor for the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's no question about that. It's worth noting, too, in the Cleveland loss to Brooklyn, could Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have played any better in that game? I don't think they could have. And Cleveland's still
and
pushing them down the stretch.
Trae Young's good, Babano, but he's not Kyrie and KD. Like, exactly. Like, and also, if there was 3 more minutes left in that game, the Cavaliers win the game. They had a horrible first quarter. They spotted them in 20, Babano. The Cavaliers won the rest of the 3 quarters against the Nets. They outscored them in the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. They were coming on late. They figured it out. They're going to be much more comfortable at home here. And same, a good point by you two with the Clippers. The Clippers now know, oh, it's for real, real. We'll finish it off. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Man, I'm getting all fired up for this right now. I don't say this a lot. I'll say I like it. I love it. I love it. And it kind of bothers me because I don't like Cleveland. I got nothing against the city personally, but I don't know. Browns fans are kind of tool bags, and Cavs fans are tool bags too. So I don't have a problem with your city. yes, I do. But no, all kidding aside, I like Cleveland as a city. And I like Cleveland State. But like I said, like the Lions, the Bills, and the Browns were all sort of cousins and stuff, but you guys are jerks. Like Cleveland are jerks because you're Ohio State fans. It's just whatever. It's a whole thing, right? Anyway, so I'm loving the Cavaliers. I don't care if Jared Allen plays or not. It'd be better if Jared Allen played. It wouldn't hurt, but also the guy hasn't played in a little while. He's got a bad hand, so all he would really be is he'd be a big body. And it would help him a little bit. But to me, the big difference here is, I'm telling you guys, tomorrow, this is on Friday. I can't wait. Darius Garland is going to go off in this game. He started to light it up as the game went on. He had a bad first quarter. They all did. They didn't shoot the ball well. Markkanen started to heat up as the game went on. And you got to remember, too, Brooklyn are actually a real team. These other teams, like, you know what I mean? There's a reason why Cleveland are hosting this game. This is crazy to me that spread. But Ben, before we get you out of here, overnight NHL, what are you looking at? What catches your eye out of the plethora of action tomorrow night?
Well, like I say, Buffalo team total for sure, over 2.5. I've been betting this every game lately with the Sabres. I think 11 of the last 13 games, they've had at least 3 goals. And it's a little bit of a safer option because they've had a lot of games where they've scored 3 goals, but they've still lost the game. So that's why it's a little bit more of a safer option than, say, the money line or the puck line on Buffalo. I like the over 6.5 with the Washington-Toronto. Pittsburgh, I think, bounces back and beats the Islanders at home after losing to them the previous game in a shootout. I think Edmonton and Nashville is a tough game. I lean Nashville, though. I didn't like the way Edmonton played the other night. I think Minnesota beats Dallas. I know Dallas needs the 2 points, but I don't trust them there. And I think Vegas maybe as a dog against Calgary. I think Vegas is in a good spot off a tough loss to Vancouver.
Great stuff, Abano. Thank you.
Bring it.